John,
Merrily.
it's 12:06.
That's good. Those are good numbers, yeah?
Yes, it is. Very good. I don't know why. I just happened to notice that, and I've been noticing numbers quite a bit more. They're like just right in my face all the time. I'm like, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. I see you. Thank you. I see you. You do that?
Yeah.
I really do.
I was yeah. In the as you brought it up, it just struck me. Today is Ramadan, by the way, for those who are listening. And I've been writing about Muhammad recently and about Solomon and all those guys that ran together or didn't, as the case may be. And last night I watched Goldie. Or Golda, I mean Golda Meir, the famous woman, the prime minister of Israel. Her famous thing was the Yom Kippur War, and all this, what's going on now? Muhammad was the ultimate. I think he was the first meditator of any consequence when he got the first messages from the Quran. In a cave outside of Mecca. All this stuff that we live through and we identify with and we confabulate as that has meaning, and I think a lot of it does. Like the numbers you're talking about, numerology and numbers and tarot cards and whatever, or tarot cards, whatever they are. I don't know. I don't practice any of that stuff. I mean, I've done the Ouija board and stuff like that. But it seems to me that if you're alert to it, if you're looking for it carefully, you can at least get close to it. And study these people that like Muhammad and Solomon and you and whoever you run with, or your gang. Your business about elevation, and how you keep bumping into these things, how you elevate yourself and you bump into these numbers and you bump into, signals. You're getting signals all the time. And you're seeing, and I think my interpretation of that is that you're seeing those signals as that you're on the right course, right? Someone's telling you're on the right path, you're on the right path. Do this because, and when you turn around, you get another signal, another signal, another signal, right? Then there's, all right, so that's good. Then there's people like me, okay, who have to invent signals practically. I don't get the signals. I mean, I'm a piker compared to you, when it comes to getting signals. I mean, I did find a feather once, and I find the odd coin here and there. But it's almost like my tuner, my brain, my tuner is full of glue compared to yours. It's like I've poured hot tar over my brain or something. And it's how you've been doing this for how long now? 17, 20 years you've been practicing this?
Well, 15,
15 years. Yeah.
15 years since my commitment.
So I mean, you've been serious about keeping yourself in alignment for 15 or 16 or whatever it is years. All right, right. So I guess I don't feel that bad then. Well, because I maybe it's just a male ego. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I want to be like you. Yeah. I want to find these things. I want to pass. I want to find signals, right? But I've been Mr. Anti-Signal for a long time. And I don't have 17 years of practice.
I mean, remember though, it wasn't just what people might think of as spirituality, because you can be taught, right? You can believe and be taught to look for numbers. You're looking at numbers to watch the signs. So you're actually looking for things. Looking for things is not the same as it being brought to you.
Well, that must be some sort of graduation ceremony where when you stop looking and then brought to you.
It's just things that are so coincidental. I don't want to use that word, but it just seems like, now how does that happen? Come on. Really? Really? You know, how does that happen? And you know, people talk about a confirmation bias, right? Like if you think that you need to get the red car and all of a sudden you're seeing red cars everywhere, you know, you're thinking, see, I told you it's a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign. It's because you're definitely aware of it within this creative realm.
Sure.
I totally get that. Yeah. But it's not when you don't have anything like that. You're really not looking for anything. You haven't decided. I did not decide to get a red car. And I'm, you know, I am on the fence about whether I should or not. And now I'm seeing it everywhere. It's not that. It's literally just going about your day with an absolute commitment to choosing love. Just staying on that right path, staying on that right path. And as you're on that path, you know, it's like giving you things.
But isn't that its own form of confirmation bias?
It is. It's its own form, but you're not looking for anything. You know, if let's say I was not aware, you know, of the difference, very, you know, fine line between love and the world of money. If I'm not aware of it, that means by default I'm operating in the world of money, which is blind to love. The actual definition. Okay, so now I'm there. But I believe in numerology. I believe in, I think that I'm spiritual. I believe in the energy of the crystals. I know that the world operates on energy. I get that it's 369 and it's all about frequency and vibration. My mind has already told me that I already know these things. So I believe that I'm operating in the world of love. And that's not true. What that is personality. You've now reinvented yourself into this spiritual personality. And that's when spirituality is personality and not really spirituality.
So in this sense of personality, the personality change, if you exercise a personality change, does that then become spirituality?
No, not at all. It's no different than changing your clothes. You know, if you just want to reinvent yourself, and even, I mean, the simple idea of changing a job. You know what I mean? I went from wearing a business suit to the office to wearing a chef hat. And now I think I'm a chef. I mean, this is who I am. So now I'm a chef, but I don't want to be a chef anymore. So I'm going to throw some beads around my neck and I'm going to go to, you know, go and pray on a mountain somewhere. And I know that I'm spiritual. But it's not. You're not that until you understand what love is. That's where the, you know, the proof in the pudding is. Do you know what love is? Are you exercising that? Because that's when you experience the spirit, the Holy Spirit of the world. If you just own it and say, I'm spiritual, you know, and it's a fad, that's not it.
So on, let's say, Eat, Pray, Love, the book, the story.
Yeah.
She went off on a 3-country or whatever it was, excursion.
Mm-hmm.
And was that, is that what she was doing? Was she just on vacation? Was she airing out or was she really looking for something?
Well,
Elizabeth
I'm going to say
we're
that.
Talking about Elizabeth Gilbert here.
Yes, yes. And it was a great book. Great
yeah.
book. And you know, that book would change all of us, right? It affects us deeply, and just by her story, and I loved it. However, there is the graduation, the natural evolution of who we are as we mature. you know, when we mature, we start to understand things that children or, you know, younger people by any measure don't understand yet. That's just maturity. And that's just hopefully what most of us do is we mature. But maturity doesn't necessarily mean spirituality.
No,
you know,
of
and in
course
that
not. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So when we're maturing and then we see, why did we do that to ourselves? You know, why did I do that to myself? Why did I make those choices? Or, oh my God, I had to make this decision while bawling my eyes out on the bathroom floor. And I just decided I'm out, I'm leaving, and I'm going to go find myself somewhere. So this is what I did. And you go out on this excursion and you learn about the world. And when you learn about the world, you learn about yourself, you know, you grow.
So
grow.
She was in a growth process then because of her
right
crying herself to sleep on the bathroom floor and all that business.
Right.
And so what did any spiritualism, did she have to end up at the ashram to get spiritualism, or did it ever really happen to her?
Well, I mean, I'm not personal friends with her.
You're not?
No.
I have her address.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday it's in the queue. But I mean, right now for face value, we can, you know, follow her story and know her, how she grew into being who she is today. And now she is this author who influences, you know, millions of people maybe. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. Who she is inside her home, who she is on a day to day. You know,
oh,
I don't know.
That's a whole different deal. Yeah, I know. That's one of the
right.
ways. That's one of the ways you've shot me down repeatedly in the past. I remember that now, as you're bringing
what
it
do
up.
You mean?
Yeah, I remember that. One of your favorite silver bullets.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. So now, for the world, this figure is successful. They've got money. They've written these beautiful stories, and we can believe her. She has led the way. And we're not discrediting her at all, but alone, you know, when you're with yourself, that's when you really understand, you know, where is your power? Where is your understanding? Where is your relationship to love? You know, are you still crying yourself to sleep on the bathroom floor?
Yeah, could be. And now, but at that point, then you might be afraid to come out and admit it, because now society has you someplace else and you're not there at all. You're not there at all. So it's hard to break out of that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that is the imposter, you know, success. And that's the devil at work, because you will get the success in the world, but you still don't know what love is.
How are you gonna pass all this off on the devil all the time?
Because it's only one or the other. It's either the world or it isn't the world.
But I mean, devil equals world in this context. Then, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The world of the devil or the spiritual world, mm-hmm. and everything else.
Well, that's why when Jesus says, "I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I'm in it. I'm here. I'm walking it." But I'm not of this. And we have all been given free will to be in it and not of it. But because the you know, the world of glitter and money takes over our ego, feeds our ego, then we become of it.
Well, it certainly makes sense, but it seems to me I keep layering that with all sorts of other control mechanisms that have to do with capitalism, religion, you know, whatever. I mean, let's take Ramadan, for example. I mean, there's, you know, people just simply stop eating and they're during the daytime. I suppose that's healthy for a while.
To stop eating?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't eat during the daytime during Ramadan. You can't eat during daylight hours. But I mean, whose idea was that? I mean, what?
That's really interesting, too.
You know what?
Can't eat while the sun is out.
Yeah, I mean, does it piss off the sun or what? I mean, I don't. I mean, if I'm going to say anything bad about any one of the religions, I mean, I pull them all in the same bag, because I still think it's a control mechanism, And
Right.
it's, you know, it's an invention to
Right.
control people. And they, some people feel like that's what they need. I mean, my parents were that way. God, they just, you know, lived and
But
breathed.
you know what?
What?
I mean, but maybe it's not, it's just our innate desire to be one with God. So you kind of, your mind bypasses the idea of control, and it's, you're exercising who you believe you are.
You're so
You know,
charitable.
I.
You're so charitable. God. Oh,
What?
gosh. It's okay. Marilee says it's going to be all right.
But it's true. We always believe the best about ourselves. Inside, it's like, but I don't want to hurt anybody. But I am a good person. But I am kind. You know, so when you're going to church and you're, you know, following whatever religion it is your submission saying, no, I do believe in God and I want to be one with God. You're trying to find your way home.
Yes, I mean that's again that's I don't know how many people use that phrase, but you use it quite a bit to find your way home. Home being with God, I presume. Yes.
Home being with love.
With love, which is God,
Right.
which is God.
Being who you, right, which is God, which is your authentic self.
Yes, because we came from that. We are
Right.
the vision, the vision and likeness. And so forth and so on.
Right.
And
So as Jesus says, I'm in it because the physical body is in it, but I'm not of it, meaning he still lives at home. This is not home.
Since I met you, I've had to put masking duct tape on the back of my American Bible.
What do you mean?
Well, because it keeps coming apart, because I open it up all the time and I look at it and say, well, what she meant when she said that. Chapter 14 and, you know, Jeremiah and so forth and so on. Why does the Bible come up with versions for religious sects? Like the Catholic version is different. The Douay version is different than the other, the King James version and so forth. What is that has to do with transubstantiation or something? Or
well, let's think about it. It's a version.
yeah,
it's a version, meaning who has the authority to change this version to that version?
Well,
clearly
anybody that wants more control, it seems to me.
Right. So it can't, if it's a version of the truth, it's not true.
But so which version is true?
Only love is true. If it's not love, it's not true.
Right. Okay, so does that mean the game is the new Bible? We just throw the other one out?
Well, you keep trying to bring me there, but I can't, I'm not going to say that.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well,
you know, it's a simpler
it
read.
Brings us to
It's
home.
A much simpler read. It's not speaking riddles all the time. It's a matter of fact stuff. You should have it you should have that translated in 50 languages and just ship it off, you know?
Yeah. I think it will be.
I think it will be too eventually. Sure. It has
yeah.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, I don't want to, you know, chase this. I don't want to become a heretic. It's like the business of religion. The business of religion. Why does religion have to be a business? I guess it does because they got to pay the rent like everybody else. How about tax exemption? What do you think about being a tax-free organization for religion? Should they be exempt from paying taxes?
No, because they're not true. No, they're falsifying documents. If that's the case, we should all be exempt. And I firmly believe that.
I mean, the perks in Congress are insulting when you consider what the ordinary people have to go through. The perks in Congress are absolutely insulting. Absolutely insulting. Yes, indeed. My thought exactly.
Yeah, so there's that conversation. But on a different note. Last night we were celebrating my son's girlfriend's birthday, and we're all sitting around, and we're all sitting like in a circle. And there's everybody.
On the floor or in chairs or what?
Chairs, yeah,
Okay.
chairs, and just having a, just talking. So I've got my, we'll call her my daughter-in-law, my daughter to my right. I've got my ex-husband's wife and her daughter to my left. And then the boys are further around, and we're talking about love and about religion and about soulmates. And so I'm my daughter, man, she is the first one to push back on me all the time, and she's like, I'm sorry, I just don't believe that.
Sounds like a mother-daughter thing to me. Yeah, sounds pretty
Yeah.
classic.
And I right, and I just have to laugh at myself because it's like, all right, baby, how long you been here? 23 years. And but it's fine because she's got the open floor to push back if you don't think. And so her question was about do you believe in soulmates? And I said no. And she goes, but why? So she's wanting me to appeal to her romantic side, right? There's got to be that one person, your soulmate. And it's like, no, because if we think that there is a mate, right, we're incomplete and divided, and we're not incomplete, nor are we divided. That's a fallacy. We are all one. So if we're all one, how do we find that soul mate?
It's that just throws your argument under the bus right away.
Well, not to a 23-year-old.
Well, no, because
She's still got.
she's still searching, right?
Yeah.
Her
Well,
soulmate.
yeah, she
Yeah.
wants to believe in it. So
Right.
she's looking at astrology and, she's looking
Yeah.
at air signs and water signs and this and that. I'm thinking to myself, God, if this is not the epitome
But if she
of.
finds a perfect soulmate in her mind, a perfect soulmate, the
Yeah.
public record supports that she has a 50-50 chance of having it work out. Your odds are only 50-50 if you find the perfect soulmate. You still only have a half chance of making it work.
Isn't that
Based
our
on
divorce rate?
human nature, that's our divorce rate, yeah.
So then
Yeah.
how is that a win
Not a
if
win.
we have a 50-50 chance if we find our soulmate? That
Yeah.
is the most ridiculous that
Yeah.
says.
I found my soulmate and now I got my finding my perfect soulmate, I got a 50-50 chance of making this work. That's as good as it's gonna get. That's as good as it gets. It's
Then it might as well
50-50.
not exist. You didn't find your soulmate. It's all bullshit.
Of course it is. Of course it's bullshit.
Yeah. But again, just to have that perspective, we're looking to the outside. The responsibility is on the outside. If I find my soulmate on the outside, your soulmate is you.
Right.
You need to go and find your own soul.
Nobody makes you whole excepting you.
You're right.
Yeah. Of course, you can have people help you, like you help people find themselves, by your writing and by your talking. People are, gobsmacked by what you have to say. And that's
Well,
good, I guess.
but you know
Makes
what?
me jealous sometimes. Makes me jealous.
Of what?
You're so much better than I am. And God, it's just
Oh,
a male,
please,
just an
Don.
ego, just an ego thing, you know? Yeah, but she did it again. How did she do that?
The difference I think with me is that I put the truth in just clear black and white on the page so that, again, we've said this before, anybody could read it and work on themselves, without going to a counselor or without having to be with me. If you want to shorten your learning curve, well, that's where I come in. But if you don't want to do that or you can't afford to do that or whatever the reason is, you're too far to do it, I don't know. Then you could do it on your own. And
Yeah.
then it really becomes, are you accountable to yourself?
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean, it goes back to your training. I mean, I've said this before when I was on the way to court with my attorney, and I'm telling my attorney that we're going to win, because we're right and righteous and on the right of good. And he said, "You got to be kidding. There's no truth in court." you know,
right?
Forget that. So who tells the best
Yeah.
story? Don't be stupid, John.
Yeah.
We're not going to the truth seminar here. We're going to who's got the best story. So the judge has no idea who you are and will make a decision based on your story. So polish it.
Even that is tilted. <Mm-mm>. No. They don't give a shit about your story. It's
well,
who's going to pay the bill?
That's of course. But I mean, that's what lawyers are supposed to be for helping you polish your story. I guess. I don't know. I mean, the professionalism is professionalism, I suppose. I've always those organizations where I have, you know, I have to subscribe to a mission statement, I guess, whatever that is.
Okay.
But I think that, I don't know what I think anymore. I everybody's got such a great idea, and I don't believe anybody anymore, you know, other than maybe you now and then. I mean, when you're really hot, you know, on your game, I'll believe you.
Well, you know, back to that conversation, as we're talking about, you know, these things, I was asking, you know, the you know, what is trust? Do you know how to define trust? I said,
they're asking you that question?
No, I'm asking my daughter and Brie.
All right.
And I said, you know, it's been my experience that when I ask my audience who or what is trust, right? How do you know if you can trust somebody? If you don't know what trust is, there's no way you can understand who to trust somebody or how, who's trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to question these things. And I don't remember what she said, but then I said, well, this is why I wrote it in the book for you. You know, if you read it. And then that's when, to my left, my ex's wife's daughter, how do I call her? What do I call her? But she goes, oh, well, there's a shameless plug.
A shameless plug for your book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, sorry. And there you go. There you go. If it's going, if what I'm teaching is reduced down to a shameless plug, you're not hearing the message.
Anybody come across the table, start swinging? I guess you don't do that in your family meetings.
Huh? Oh, no. No, I ignored it. Yeah, I totally ignored that. I really don't care. You know, when, and we know what's unfortunate is when people are clearly, clearly hurting, clearly their life is chaos, and they don't understand how to get out from underneath this cycle of pain that they're creating for themselves. And they're sitting right there in the room and they can't take your hand. And they won't ask. And if they don't ask, you know, there's no invitation. Can't say anything. Now, my daughter-in-law, she's a sweetheart. She's an absolute doll. She'll ask.
I've been in a couple of those sit-down arrangements where there actually fights broke out. I don't know if that's good or bad, frankly.
The reason the fight breaks out is because people get triggered and they don't know how to handle what was said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have snapped back. Why would I do that?
Well, it makes if you do, it makes the whole thing really uncomfortable really fast.
Right.
And I don't think that's your intention, especially not in the situation you're in. That's a, you know, family get together, not a mm-hmm. A kickboxing match downtown. So mm-hmm. Yes, of course I get that. Yeah, I. But it doesn't. I don't know. The only thing I remember about the first fight was that the dog got to eat all the meat, because the fight was so obnoxious and crazy that the dog, a big German Shepherd, started eating the meat that was being cooked for the party.
Where is this coming from? I don't know the story.
I just remember a fight. Yeah, we had a party at the house, and somebody got mad, and somebody took off a stiletto heel and hit somebody with it, and
Oh my goodness.
and then it went into punches and fisticuffs, and then then it was in our house, so the
Oh my
parents. So we're running around trying to save the furniture. I mean, the same, you know, people are being thrown and hit, and I mean, it's a real brawl.
Oh my gosh.
And we had a peacock. My dad had we had a big peacock that was spread out across the top of a piano sitting, and my dad didn't want anyone to hurt the peacock, so he's on the piano keeping people away from the peacock. And my mother's trying to save the china and silver and so forth, and the dog is in the kitchen eating the food, and I'm running around my tail going. Yeah, I mean, it's such a comedy. I mean, when you think about it, it was amazing, really, what was going on. Yeah. And then one time
Did you ever?
Huh? Come on.
I was going to ask you if you've ever seen The Family Stone.
The Family Stone? No.
Yeah. You should watch that movie.
Okay.
That's what you just described. And I love that movie.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, what that's okay. I mean, that's all right. I mean, the only other fight where it broke out was during the first Super Bowl. In Utah, I was in Utah during the first Super Bowl game. God almighty. It was another fight situation, but I don't know.
I have never experienced that, John.
You know, it's a lot of people have never taken a punch, and that's one of the first things they do when you go into special ops training. That's why that's why boxing is a part of the fundamental training. For that is because people that come in, very few people have ever taken a punch. You know, they've seen it, but they've never felt the hit. That fist hit them in the face, and that's a big comeuppance.
Yeah, I'm just saying that kind of behavior. Like the last memory I have of that, I remember when I was, I don't know, I must have been like 10 or 12 years old, and my aunt punched somebody in the face. I don't remember who it was. I was a kid and I didn't understand why she just punched him in the face, but she was mad. I mean, but my own personal life? No. In raising my family, like with Doug and I having our children? No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I've never had that situation with my own family, with my own children, I mean.
But, my boys have never been in a fight.
Yeah, well, but I did.
I mean, with each other.
Well, it's, yeah, well, the little kid screaming over a toy or something, maybe happens, but maybe not in your case, I don't know. But I mean, my kids, I put them in fencing class, taught them how to fence, taught them how to parry, thrust and parry, you know, we had boxing. Christine's a boxer. I don't know what that means, but she's an accomplished boxer, actually.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm not particularly good at anything other than just watching.
I did Taekwondo with my kids.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all that stuff. You can kickbox and kick and spin and, you know, racquetball, right? You're athletic.
Right.
I think there's something to do with geometry. I think that your body geometry has a lot to do with your capacity to be a good athlete. You must have really good body geometry. Do you think you do?
I have no idea. What does it mean?
Well, I mean, just the way, you know, the angle, the length of your from joint to joint and your arms and legs and how your skeletons put together.
I've never thought of it like that.
I had a doctor of some sort. I had to have an x-ray somehow of my body for whatever reason. And he said, you've got perfect body geometry, John. Perfect body geometry. I thought, what the hell does that mean? And so I never thought about it. Other than I thought later on, I thought that's got to have something to do with an athlete. Because among my kids, for example, I've watched them grow, and I have, you know, thinkers, and I have perfect geometry. I have kids that were good at riding horses, good at fencing, kids that were not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that maybe that has to do with geometry. It's how you grow.
Yeah.
You know?
The other day I did catch myself. I don't know what was getting into me. All of a sudden my thumbs caught my attention. And I'm looking at my hands. I'm going, why are my thumbs so small?
Sure, I'm looking at my,
yeah, but I never noticed before. You know, I'm looking at it going, but are these small? Because it's small to me. And I mean, they're proportionate with my hands. But I never really thought about my hands being any size at all. You know, it's just what I got. This is my thing. This is what I got. So I never thought about big or small or this. I don't pay any attention to that. But my thumbs caught my attention, and that's when it went to my hand. And I'm like, do I have small hands? I don't know.
Your hands look pretty normal to me in photographs. So I've got a picture of your hand across your shoulder there. Yeah. Pretty good.
Oh,
I mean,
true.
Other than your little fingers crooked.
Right. So, my two fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very, I mean, I've thought about that several times. If I was ever in some kind of a television contest where I had to pick a person out of a crowd, I'd look at your hands immediately. I know who you were.
Right.
I'd grab your hand. I know.
I think Ben has crooked little pinkies too. I think Ben does. Yeah. I think two of them do and two of them don't. I don't know why they're so opposite of each other.
Well, you guys have not reached the stage where I'm at right now, which is really lovely, where I watch my hands become crooked. Like my thumb goes up and then turns out to the right, turns away, like it's becoming a windmill or something.
You know, and that's the thing with aging. You just don't know what the hell's going to happen to you. What am I to become?
Yeah. Yeah, my perfect body geometry is now becoming really weird. Yeah.
That's really fascinating to watch yourself go, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have these, you know, these big knots on your knuckles and stuff like that, you know. And it's, I mean, I still show pretty well, actually, for an old guy. But I can see it. I can see where people, I guess where the cosmetic industry would really, you know, could play hard on keeping you young when you're really not. But I could wrap my thumbs to keep them straight, you know, like they used to do in Asia, you know, head wrappings and stuff like that. I could probably straighten these guys back out again, but what's the point? I mean, I'm fine, you know. You find yourself eating differently too. You hold a spoon differently sometimes, you know. You like you grab it with a full hand and throw it in your mouth like you're a shovel. I don't know.
It's no.
Fun. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
No. You like that?
Sometimes it's easier to do. I mean, if you've got arthritis so bad that you can't manipulate your fingers, then you just grab the spoon. I mean, I went to a where they sold arthritis utensils for people, and they got these great big rubber handles that you can grab because you can't tighten your digits. And then you grab that and you just grab it and then you scoop it up and you stick it in your mouth. I mean, you look stupid, but at least you can feed yourself, you know? And
not normal things, John. They're not normal things. These are,
of course.
Well,
they're not normal. They're just diseases that come along.
No, like, but they're not normal. The body is a beautiful, functioning, work of art. And
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Upon us, and the fluoride in the water and all the heavy metals are creating these disorders,
distortions of the body, turning it around.
Yeah,
but I mean, what, the dinosaurs had arthritis, you know, there's no problem back then.
I don't know, I can't confirm nor deny.
Yeah, they figured out a lot of dinosaur, you know, we've got the Burke Museum around here, so we talk about that kind of stuff. But dinosaurs had arthritis too. I've got arthritis. I mean, I've got rheumatoid arthritis, what I have. And so I'm, you know, I'm in a constant state of, I don't know, craziness, pain, something.
What does it do?
Huh? What?
What does, what? What does it do to you? Like,
well,
it was an
autoimmune disease, and what happens is that it's like I said, I watched my thumbs curve out to the right, you know, like they're turning like bananas. My thumbs look like bananas, because it creates it attacks your joints and distorts your structure, and so you're taking the path of least resistance away from the problem, and your fingers get all crooked, and you know, you look like a Bela Lugosi movie after a while, you know. And it's all autoimmune. I mean, I have an overactive immune system. Diagnostically, my immune system is too active. So that creates a distortion. So what I take is a deadener for my immune system.
Well, if there's something else obviously going on that's kicking in your immune system.
Well, probably, but it's been going on for thousands of years. I mean, I'm so much better now that I met you.
Yeah.
In terms of much better. I mean, in terms of how I view stuff, you know, I think about things before I stick it in my mouth. I really do. We made soda bread yesterday, with currants. Really good, actually. But it wasn't quite sweet enough. And I thought, I'm going to put some sugar on this. I thought, well, I wonder if Mary Lee would put sugar on her soda bread.
Yeah.
She probably would, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did. I put a lot on. It's pretty, pretty good.
A lot? Mary Lee would put a little. I'm going to put a lot. Yeah. Yesterday, when we were at our function, when I showed up, Emma was laid out on the couch in serious pain with a migraine. Yes. And when you get a migraine, then you got to throw up. You can't look at the light. It's just, you know, she was all pale, absolutely terrible. I said, oh, baby, you're sick. And she's like, oh, my head is killing me, you know, whatever. So she managed to drag herself off the couch into the kitchen, and that's when I started to rub her back, and I got an ice cube and I put it on the back of her neck, right at the base of her neck. And she's, of course, she's always like, Mom, you know, like, because I'm always doing like my natural healing.
Yeah, right.
And then I pushed on a couple of pressure points on her feet and then on her hand. Within 20 minutes she was back to herself. And she had migraine since the day before.
Did she realize? I mean, did she acknowledge that you helped her?
Oh no, no.
No, well, that'd be too much.
I think my daughter would acknowledge it. My daughter, she didn't vocalize it, but clearly she was all better and laughing and back to herself. But then it was my ex who said it must have been the electrolytes that, you know, she drank earlier.
Yeah, so that that neutralized what you were doing, probably. Huh? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's, you know, it's valid, because I told her, I said, you need salt, baby, you need salt. And of course they didn't have any salt. Not good salt. And so I just did whatever. But I was just talking about healing, because you said, you know, you're much better since me.
Yeah, well, there's, you ever heard of New You? The tablets, the fizzy tablets that are for athletes.
Okay.
They sweat too much, don't have enough water. They take the new you thing.
Okay.
I've got some of those. I use some of that stuff because for years and years and years I've had this autoimmune thing, plus I go into arterial fibrillation pretty easily if I don't have a balanced electrolytes in my body. So mm-hmm. I take that to make sure I do. Because otherwise I'll end up with an admission. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive, you know. I learned that from drinking too much wine when I was younger. That's how I figured it out.
Right.
I didn't figure it out. A doctor figured it out for me. But I was to the point where, you know, every third glass of wine I had was about a $5,000 idea.
Yeah, that's
because
crazy.
I'd end up in the emergency room with, mm-hmm. you know, arrhythmia.
Mm-hmm.
And after about two or three of those. The doctor said, you know, have you considered that you're allergic to wine and, you know, sulfites? He said, I think you're allergic to sulfites. And I said, why don't you stop drinking wine and see what happens? And of course, it worked. But the damage had already been done. So
that's terrible.
But I'm actually a walking miracle. You're right down to it. I mean, well, I don't want to get into that, but yeah, I'm still alive. I'm pretty sure I'm still there. And
it's amazing what you've accomplished.
Yes, it is. You know, I have a lot of experience of doing it wrong. I have as much experience of doing it wrong as anybody I've ever met. Yes. Anybody wants to know how to do it wrong, just talk to John. He'll tell you how to.
Yeah, cut your learning curve. Another way.
Right, no problem. You want to practice the dynamite? Call John. He'll tell you what to do.
Oh,
right,
my
no
gosh.
Problem.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
You know, have you been drinking your tea?
I just lost your signal. Say it again.
Have you been drinking your tea?
Yeah. Oh, Sarasop? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I mean, they say to break up the leaves, to wash the leaves and break them up. And I don't like to do that. I like to wash them. I mean, I wash them for them. I mean, I rinse them off. They say to rinse them off. But do you rinse off your leaves when you
start? Nope. I don't do anything.
That's
what
it says on the box. It says on the box, rinse them off.
All right.
So maybe you should pass a little water over them, pass a rag over them before you do that. But anyway, yeah, I answer your question, yes.
I'm going to look at that. See if we're drinking the same thing. But I'll make my tea, not just that one, but anyone. If I have my teapot and I throw the leaves in there, and oftentimes I forget about it because I'm letting it steep. And then I walk away. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then that time passes, and then I want to have my mushroom coffee. And I have to make the water, right? And I was like, oh, shoot, I still have my tea in here. I forgot.
Yeah. It gets stronger and stronger. Yeah.
All right. Well, my tea's still in there. Well, I don't throw it out. I just warm up the water, and then I use that for my tea. I mean, for my coffee.
What does that taste like? Does that taste good?
It tastes fine.
I've been storing it in the refrigerator.
Hmm.
If I don't drink it, I just keep it. So I end up with this container of soursop tea, cold. I don't, because I drink it cold as well as hot. I don't care about the temperature.
Sure,
that much.
Right. So my soursop doesn't say that. My soursop
just
says.
Do you have your glasses on?
I'm looking at the package. It says 5 to 10 leaves per 8 ounce. Steep it at 175 degrees, and then steep time is 10 to 20 minutes, and that's it. And on the back it says, soursop leaves may help with hormonal disorder, high blood pressure, cardiovascular health, fights cancer, fights tumors, fibros, and lupus, and that's it.
Huh. Well.
Yeah. So we may not have the same package.
We might not. They could have changed it. Mine says wash off the leaves and crumple them up.
Huh.
And I tried it, but I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, I don't mind washing them off, but I want them in there whole. I like them whole.
Yeah.
It's more fun. I don't think it changed anything.
Where did you get it from?
From you.
How did
you sent me the first soursop.
Oh,
still
I know why, because that was the soursop I ordered from Amazon. Right?
Well,
yeah.
Amazon has dirty soursop leaves.
It's still organic. I don't know, but I don't have that bag. So I get my bag from the farmer's market.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. Then they would, there'd be no FDA controls there.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you might not even be eating soursop. You might be eating something else, not even realize, because nobody's controlling it. There's no control. There's no federal control. There's no government looking at your stuff. See, I go with the government all the time for purpose.
And we've learned to trust that. Sure, John. I don't know. I think they what.
Did I say the wrong thing? No, I didn't. I don't think so. No.
Yeah. Right. Pass the FDA. Is that what you're going to say? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would surprise me that they want you to wash it off. I don't know about all that. But anyway, but that's what I do. I don't waste my tea. I just use the same water and I make my coffee.
But you've got special water too. You're using clean water.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everything. I'm still stuck with a Brita. I don't go beyond the Brita.
You got to get something more than that, John.
That's all I got so far.
But the Brita doesn't take out anything.
Take out some stuff.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take out fluoride. And fluoride is terrible for us. Terrible. Should never be. Stay away from it.
Well, do I have to eat, drink distilled water?
Do you have to? No, you don't have to.
No, but I mean, is that the answer? Is eating distilled?
No, hydrogen water is the best, and you can get a flask. You can get your own hydrogen, your personal hydrogen water maker thing. Yeah, you can get
Hydrogen
that.
water. Let me see. Does that add years to my life? Hydrogen
Yes,
water.
yeah, it's the best.
Hydrogen water machine. Is that
Yeah,
like that?
or the.
What does it do? I've got dehumidifiers. I can just drink distilled water out of the bag of the dehumidifiers if I want to. Screen them.
No, look at, they're about $50 or so on Amazon.
What do they do?
It says,
Does it do it with like a lights? Does it do it with lights? Or how does it get out of there? What does it do?
Trying to improves water quality in 3 minutes using advanced SPE and PEM technology. 3 minutes of rapid electrolysis improves water quality. A single use can produce a high concentration of 1600 ppb hydrogen, turning ordinary drinking water into alkaline water rich in hydrogen ions, suitable for all drinking water quality. Food grade material, easy to clean, stylish, healthy gift option, and blah blah blah. This
I'll
isn't
look it
really
up. I'll look it
telling,
up. Yeah.
telling what it
Is
does.
that so that what you do? Is that how you do it? You do it with your own machine?
I don't have my own machine, but the where I buy my water, they have hydrogen water, but you can't get a lot of it because you have to drink it in a certain amount of time, or else it goes flat.
Oh, okay.
You lose the benefit.
Okay. I'll look into that.
But
Yeah.
yeah, it's super good for you. It really hydrates your body.
Well, hydration is a big thing for me because of just, I mean, this surgery I'm going into on the 29th. Yeah. I mean, the preparation I have to go through to walk into the operating room is just ridiculous. But it's like I tell them, I said, if you don't put I want a line in my arm when I clear the door. Because dehydration is not happy. I'm not happy with dehydration at all, at all. And you guys have got me on this, no food, no this, no that, and clean out your GI system, blah 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 for the days before. I said I'm going to be a wreck. My body will not be happy. And so I told the doctor. I said, I'm going to be first in the queue on the operating theater that next day. When I walk through the door, when I clear the door, I want a line in my arm with saline right out of the box. Otherwise, I said, when pull the weenie out of the box, I'll be out of there. If I go into AFib, there'll be no operation. Because I'll be admitted in the ER for I'll put 200 rems and they'll bounce me off the table a couple of times, to get my heart back. And go on.
Are they limiting your 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 water foods?
They're
All the
limiting,
things that hydrate?
yeah. In other words, they want me. I mean, they will let me hydrate myself, but because it's a GI thing, they're going to empty out my whole GI tract, right? which feeds the whole other thing. And so I will be effectively dehydrated, you know, for
okay,
probably
but
12 hours.
All right. With the food. So you can't eat any water-rich food, is what we're saying.
I know I can't eat any food of any kind, and I can only
any
have
kind.
Sips of water. Yeah, I only have sips of water. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, that's not a big deal as long as I get anyone on board. You know, this is what I expect going in.
Mm-hmm.
And it works out pretty well. You know, I've been going to this hospital for 50 years. They all know who I am. You know, I get in the short line every time I walk in there. But anyway, it's cool. I feel,
you
know,
get one of these bottles.
I feel really good. I feel really good right now.
Good.
Good. Whatever's been going on, it's working. And so that's good. And I'm all set to go again. I think it's going to be a huge home run success, frankly, all things considered.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think you should get one of these bottles.
A bottle or that the hydrogen, the machine thing? Talking about the machine?
Yeah, the personal bottle. Yeah, I think you should get one of those and start hydrating now while you can. And then that'll take you right through the surgery.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, get out
that
ahead
way,
of it. Get out ahead of it.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. Start hydrating right now, and then when you can't have anything but sips of water, sip that water so that you're getting more bang for your buck.
Good point. Good idea.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Gosh, look at that.
Yeah, good. And
Took
stay the hell away from,
56 minutes
you know.
40 seconds to get to that point. You could have started that right off the bat.
Well, that's typical for our conversation. Man, we don't know what the heck we're going to talk about, where we're going to go.
You're right.
No, but I'm glad we did land on that. That's really important. And you did feel the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway. And again, congratulations on finishing Floppy Feathers.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations on being the protagonist and probably becoming the most famous woman in the world. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. They just saved me a seat, that's all.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to blow by me in a minute when they figure out who you are. Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know about that, John.
Oh, I do know. I've been watching you on what do you call it? Spotify?
Spotify.
You put your new show up there. I mean, yesterday morning, you were second in the queue. You were ahead of everybody.
I don't know how that works. I don't know.
No, I wasn't stunned because I know how good you are, but I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, well, I think what got my attention was that I'm spooling through and boom, there you are, right? Okay, that's nice. And then I'm going down below who's following you. And there's some of the biggest names in media that are behind you on Spotify, which is the biggest game in town. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm talking to this woman every day, you know?
I don't know. I just don't know how these things work. I don't really pay attention. You know, I kind of just do my thing and I'm out.
Well, it's working.
And I appreciate that you do look.
Oh, yeah, I follow you. Absolutely, I follow you. You know, I mean, I'm not a Merrill League groupie, but I mean, I watch you because I'm excited about your success. I'm literally excited about your success because I give myself credit for saying to myself, self, Merrill League is worth, I mean, she is a diamond. She's a diamond. She's a white diamond. And she's really good. And, you know, pay attention, kiddo. And so I did. And God, I'm just being proven right over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You're just wonderful.
Yeah.
You're popular.
Thank you.
You're smart. I mean, forget about the popular, but you just really know what you're doing. And media, I don't know whether it's an algorithm decided to like you or some person decided to like you, but somebody at Spotify decided you're a winner and you're making them look good.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Congratulations, winner.
Well, you know, and I really do appreciate that because clearly YouTube didn't feel the same way.
Yeah, well, just the difference in who's, you know, how they decide to do stuff, but
Yeah, I don't even know what is going on with that whole thing, but clearly it's like going through all those different people. Remember we were talking about going through all the different people who say no, 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 and then finally you land on the one person who knows how to handle it, and then it's like yes.
yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. How many
Well,
platforms have I just been going through and they go out? Who knows? I don't know.
but I think you're natural. You've got a natural curiosity that causes you to win stuff like that. Your curiosity, you're reaching all the time, and I think it has to do with your intellect. I don't think it's because you're self-absorbed. I think it's just because of your intellect. You're just smart. You know, you can analyze stuff. And it's one of the reasons that I liked you at the very beginning was because you were smart, intelligent, basic intelligence, right out of the box. Really good.
It's really fascinating to think about that now, looking back to where we started, you know, and I remember like when you first came on to my Zoom call, and I was like, that is so sweet of him. Like what made you decide to join, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Other than it was just, I give myself credit for recognizing quality. You know,
Yeah.
I'm not going to be wasting my time when I sit in your Zoom call.
Right.
You know, this will not be a waste of my time. Believe me, I am vicious about my time. So.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's what I'm kind of saying in my story is like, I obviously had no idea who you were. It was just this automatic vibrational connection. It was just a tone, you know, we just connected. And then for you to go so far as to, you know, join my call, I was flattered. I'm like, that was just really nice of him. And I clearly have no idea who you are, how accomplished you are, your whole nothing. And now that I know all this stuff, I'm looking back going, oh my gosh, I had no idea who I was sitting with.
Oh, what? Let's stop there. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that. Okay.
It's quite
All
an
right.
honor.
All
All
right.
right, John.
Thank you.
I
I
love
love you.
you.
Okay.
I'll see
I
you.
love you. Bye
Bye.
bye.